Hi, I'm Richard Dean Anderson.
James MacGyver.
Colonel Jack O'Neill, SG-1.
My name is Pratt. Ernest Pratt.
I always get a happy, tingly feeling when I see those guys.
Name one contract that I failed to execute.
MacGyver.
Oh, here we go.
You're a target. And I don't intend to miss.
Over my rotting corpse. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Glowing eyes, cliche behavior, evilness, that kind of thing. Is mental illness contagious?
You think?
You can do anything you want to do if you put your mind. Well, you do have a penchant for pulling brilliant ideas out of your butt. Head. Out of your head, when we need them.
Oh, stuff's already here. I just find a different way to use it.
I like your attitude.
Permission to take a team through the Stargate, sir.
Hey, everybody. It's Mac Jackson. Thrilled to have you here. I see Leif, I'm hoping I got it right, is our first person to be on. Nate's supposed to be here, but he's late. He doesn't understand that we are on a time limit. So he will be with us in a momento. Or a time limit. We're supposed to go live at exactly 6:30, and here we are. So let me take a look at who is in the comments. Leif, let me know if I got that right. I don't want to mispronounce your name. I recognize you, and I'm thankful that you're here. We're doing our first MacGyver podcast live. This is because I wanted to reach out and have like instant conversations with everybody that tunes in. And I just thought this would be a lot of fun. Let me know that you can hear me. In particular, let me know if you can't hear me. And I want to thank Jay from Sidetrack. It's actually, he kind of got the ball rolling. Oh, there you go. There, I got it right. Thank you, Leif. I'm afraid of butchering that because like Leif Garrett, everybody call him Leif or, you know, Larry or something. Yeah, Jay from Sidetrack. I'm probably going to have to repeat this when Nate joins. But he had me on his podcast. If you get a chance, go. If you want any of the latest gossip, rumor, what seems to always come true, he has contacts and he lets us know what the latest is on the Stargate front. The movie that we're getting. Apparently the latest is it may not be in theaters. It may go right to streaming, maybe both, but we're pretty much guaranteed a series, an ongoing series. So that's great. So special thanks to Jay. We had a great conversation. We were talking about how easy it is to bring back Stargate. Still looking around here. Pardon me if I seem distracted. This is my first time because of him, because of Jay. I got this StreamYard, which is what he uses to do this live stuff, and then I'll repost it as an episode later. But there's an excitement and a danger to doing live shows because you never know what's going to happen. For example, your co-host may be late. But in any news, we had a great conversation about how easy it is. He was afraid it wasn't easy to bring back. And I said, of course it is. It's actually out of all the things that you can possibly bring back for a series. I really can't think of anything else that would be as easy. But Stargate is it's there. I mean, it's everything's set up. Nothing's really changed. I don't know how many of you out there have been listening to the gossip. I personally feel this is super easy to do as long as they take their egos out of it. Amazon, I'm talking about. If you respect the audience, if you give us our main characters back and integrate whoever new you want in, I don't know how many people, no, look at my audience. Of course you did. We're on board during the 9th and 10th season of SG-1. There were mistakes made. One of the problems was no explanation of where Jack went. You had to read that kind of stuff online. And apparently Michael Shanks had said that he told me one of the times up. Oh, here comes Nate. He told me that they hang on, I gotta do this thing. We're live, Nate.
Oh, cool.
I have to do it at 6:30. If we say 6:30.
Oh shoot. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Now I gotta figure out how to present. I want to get us both on the screen. And
I was gonna say there's me.
That's that. There, okay, you see you. Now I see me. Oh boy, isn't this fun? Yep. I had this before, actually.
Down at the bottom of my screen, I have a area where it's single, double, double wide, and then a couple different multi options.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like it's shift plus three.
Shift plus three?
Yep, like if you hit shift and the three.
Oh. No. I'm kind of nervous about that. Let me hang on. We got to be able to figure this out.
Do you have it blown up to fill your entire screen?
No, I do not. Let me give that a shot. I wanted to see. Ooh, hey, look at me. Okay, there we go. So now present. Which one are you talking about?
Down at the bottom, there's one where it's two zoomed in and then two zoomed out.
Okay.
Might be because I'm a participant. I have maybe odd options.
Add item. Ah, here we go.
There you go.
Let's see. We're going to do that. So what if I say, that's kind of weird. Okay. Thanks for hanging in, everybody. We're going to figure this out. I swear to God.
It's a learning experience for all of us.
All of us. So much fun.
Truth be told, I didn't hear of a... Is it called StreamYard or StreamYard?
StreamYard.
I hadn't heard of this until you'd mentioned something to me the other day. I'm like, worth a shot to try out.
Well, I'll tell you, Jay from, let me see, Fit to Fill? I don't know. All right, I'm looking at you. I can see you in front of me.
Okay.
What do you see?
Because I had selected the one option, I see both of us. Like right next to each other, kind of like we're on a Zoom call type.
Okay, so that's it. You can see us next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. Just, this is probably going to mess stuff up.
Fingers crossed.
I'm going to go online and see what people see.
Oh, okay.
So
might be one of those where it rotates between whoever's talking, or the viewer might actually have the same options I do.
No, we're good with this. I got a quick glimpse of us and our little faces are there.
Awesome.
So,
by the way, Leaf, I apologize if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
No, I haven't been through that.
Yeah, had a question about the how many episodes the series would be. Pure guesswork, of course, but rarely under eight, right?
Oh, look! Thank God for you, Leaf. You're letting us know. If I hadn't blown up my screen, I would have seen all of your helpful hints. Oh, good. Now I got feedback. Why? Oh, that's you, I hear. You're hearing.
Let me put on headphones so you don't get the echo.
Anyway, I will look at Leif's spot on, rise with safe. Good. Do we know how long many episodes the series would be? Not a clue. It could be. Wow, I'm really getting feedback. Oh, maybe you just didn't plug in yet.
Yep. Give me a second here.
Sure. Okay, so they're speculating at least 10. You know, with episodes of TV on normal networks, you would get, 22 to 24? The new craze has been doing 10 or less, which sucks. I mean, look at the Star Wars shows. They're great. But the same thing with most of the Marvel shows. Sometimes less is more with Stargate. I don't think that that'd be the case. I think more is more. I think, you know, it's so open. You don't have to confine it. Do your 22. But it's Amazon and they're trying stuff out and they want to do a movie, which that's them trying to be that old fashioned thinking of how great they want to be a movie company instead of just a streaming service. Which as Jay said on his video, it is a great compliment to the Stargate franchise that they have such faith in it to do a theater.
Let me grab another set of headphones.
Sure. Okay, but my thing that I said on, again, go to Sidetrack, check it out. I had said, I don't think it's going to matter how well or how perfect the movie is. Let's say we got everything we want. We got Jack and Daniel, and it's a great classic episode, but now it's a two-hour movie. Like Foothold was. Foothold felt like a movie. Most of the episodes always feel like movies. But even if they gave us the perfect movie, the way the cinema works nowadays, look at the great movies that have bombed, even though they're excellent movies. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life bombed in the theater. So the quality of the film doesn't necessarily reflect on how well it does in the cinema. We talked on the Never Gets Old podcast about Indiana Jones and how excellent that was in The Flash, Blue Beetle. They didn't do well in the They didn't do well because either there was no publicity for it or critics beforehand trying to sound snobby decided to crap on them before they even were shown to the public. However, Indiana Jones has done excellent on streaming. So, you know, you could take the critics away now and that you're actually seeing the audience go, no, look, we love this. So with the Stargate movie, I think the plan is faulty, but as long as they can guarantee we get a series, go ahead, do your theater thing, whatever. Give us our series, because that's, you know, if they're worried about getting a new audience, I know going to the theater wouldn't sway me. I'm not going to go try something new on a two-hour movie for a franchise that's been around for however many years and is still strong, even though there hasn't been an episode on television in forever. I would just, you know, movies are expensive. People in theater suck. The aggravation isn't worth it most of the time. Like, my family and I just go to the theater to see superhero stuff because we know it's epic and we know what we're getting and we love it. So I hope, and from what Jay said, they seem to be catering to us, the audience, or the established audience, I should say. Thank God, because you know why Amazon wanted to buy Stargate? You know why Stargate is still so darn popular? Because of people like you and I, who are still talking about it every day to people, whether they've seen it or not. We're the ones who are trying to bring more people in. I've told stories on this podcast about getting people to get into it. You want a perfect show? It's called SG-1. That's where we're at with that. Now that the writer's strike is over, the actor strike is said to follow suit. Once they got the one done, they got the other one. How you doing there, Nate?
All right, I had to mute myself because I wanted to not contribute to echoness. For some reason, my headphone jack's not recognizing my headphones, which is really weird. Would you mind if I log out and log back in? So that usually fixes the
problem. You got the link.
Yeah, that's just really weird. Usually this doesn't happen.
Leif and I will tap dance, I guess. We'll...
Awesome. Yeah, I apologize for this. So I'll be right back.
All right.
5 minutes tops.
Be back. All right.
Yep. 5 minutes tops, promise.
Sure. So Nate has stepped away. What else can I tell you? The writer's strike is over. Again, this is all coming from Sidetrack, so check them out. Also, here's the thing, while I have everyone's attention. We're trying this to engage with everybody. However, it costs money. And we don't make any money doing this. So people's contributions have really made a difference. I'm on like a 13-day free trial for this, and I like it. And if everybody really likes it and goes into YouTube and subscribes and hits like and shows that they are watching this or like Leif taking part in it, we'll keep doing it. So any contribution that you guys can, at the top of the chatty bar here, I put a link for the Patreon. I try to contribute to that with blogs and, you know, interesting stuff that you can read at your leisure. Here we go. Well, Nate, the Discord guy is out. Well, now I got to go see that now. Or is that a all right, let me see if I could share this. There you go. I trying to think of what movie that is. GoldenEye. You actually said GoldenEye. My mind went to write James Bond. I have to go back and look now. So I think, okay, if you know anything about Nate, he is a big cosplayer. So I'm pretty sure if you say that, when he reads this, he's going to go, I got another thing to be. Because his business, where he makes the cards and the flags and all of that. What the heck? I always want to say custom credentials, and it's not. Go to the Forever Adventure network page. Go to that page, and under stores, he is the one who commissioned credentials. That's the name of it. Knew it was going to come to me. He does copies of the badges that everybody wears. If you want to look like Mulder and Scully, he can do that. He could make it look like you, whatever. And it's super cheap. I mean, he is a guy who cares about the customer as opposed to other guys. If you wanted something Stargate, well, they're going to nail you, you know, triple the price. He's giving you a badge, or I got a flag, a Stargate flag for $10 from him. I think the price maybe went up to 20. But anyway, he sells at these conventions. And when he's there, he dresses up as various characters, whether they're somebody new that just was in a trailer. I remember he dressed up like what's his name from Wonder Woman when the second one was coming out. He had the fanny pack and everything. So yeah, if we tell him that, I bet you that'll put a bug in his ear and he'll probably dress up like Boris. Boy, you know, and I love GoldenEye too. Pierce Brosnan has always been my favorite Bond, even before he was Bond. So that was, I think, the first one I saw in the theater, too. Oh, here comes Nate. Let's see what we got going on here.
All right, let's see if that fixed the problem.
There he is. All right. There we go. So, Leif, how are we looking? Leif is going to tell us if we're split screen again.
Which we probably should be, because it went to split screen almost immediately after.
Did it? Okay, if you see split screen, then that's all I need.
Yep. Yeah, nice thing is it seems pretty intuitive. So.
Thank
God. As long as, you know, people's headphone jacks work.
Well, at least you knew what it was. Remember, there have been times in our podcasting past where things echo or I'm quieter than you. And thank you.
Yeah. Leif. Thank you, Leif.
Leif also said you remind him of Boris from GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah. Probably because the Hawaiian shirt and verklempt hair and glasses.
I told him that you're going to probably not want to dress like that at one as a cosplay.
I mean, realistically, I kind of dress like him as is already.
So. Yes, you do. I don't know who he is, and I love Goldeneye. So now I have
Boris
to go back
is the yeah, he is I'm trying to think. The actor is going on to play a lot of different characters, Nightcrawler and a whole slew of other
characters. Yes, absolutely. The computer guy.
Yep. Yeah, the guy that's always flicking with the pen and everything. Yep.
Yes. Okay, so. Then yes. Yes, Leif. I see it. I see exactly what you're talking about. Never thought of it before, but now I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting how things just kind of like stick in your brain like, oh, okay, now I see it.
So I was telling everybody about how I was on Sidetrack with Jay last Saturday, and we were discussing basically how easy it is to bring back the franchise.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I mean, how simple it is to write. You know, he was coming up with all these. Well, what about, you know, what about the fact that they're so powerful now with all the technology? I said, okay, if you want to depower them, there's your first story arc. These are writing opportunities, not, you know, sometimes when I listen to some chats, people either say we have this problem or you go the opposite end. Well, no, if they care about the franchise and, you know, if there's someone who knows what they're doing and it is a lover of the franchise, that's simple. You can write this. Okay. I can write it in my sleep.
Yeah. Ironically, with the Stargate RPG game that came out the other year.
Which I'm getting. I'm going to get that soon, if by Christmas.
In the book, it actually sets it up that you join, you know, that whole universe. I say universe, even though, I mean, it's the same universe. That whole introduction into the tabletop RPG is set in, I want to say, season 7 is when they have that kind of like introduced.
Okay. Well,
because I'm still slowly but surely working on it, because I'm going to be playing with a bunch of people that are kind of like peripherally familiar with Stargate.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go off book because that's what I do. I sat down and I'm working on setting the stage that it's present day, but my best guess as to what would have happened, at least in my noodle, as to what would have happened with the SGC, the Atlantis expedition, you know, was there any further contact with the Destiny, things like that.
Sure, sure.
And the couple people, like the one or two people in the group that are familiar with Stargate, not nearly to the level of you and I, were like, we can tell you're passionate about this because of the level of detail you've thought of different things here and there. I'm like, well, yeah. With Stargate, with the pilot episode of SG-1, they did something that could have very easily alienated the people that loved the movie. They basically had it set where the Stargate was mothballed.
Right.
You know, because it was, you know, a few years after the movie that this took place. So it's just, it's interesting what anybody with any level of love for Stargate could do with it if given the opportunity. And I'm hopeful. I'm, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, I'm nervous as can be until they prove otherwise. The moment they say, you know, because here's the thing. I was reading Gate World did an article today about it, about the writer's strike being over and how that could be great for us. And said that at this point, there's ways to loop through that and not use this, but they said by military standards, they would have had Jack retire. That's just what they do. Well, yeah, okay, so that doesn't limit your possibilities.
Yeah, you could do, I mean, realistically, he could become a consultant. I mean, that's not unheard of.
You could call him back and have him be there as a retired general. Mm-hmm. Good enough, right? Yeah. And when they say General Neely can go retired, just like,
yeah,
right? Because that was his thing. So yeah, you could do that.
It's a great callback too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, give me a license to write some episodes. Or it's Jack O'Neill. I mean, the guy has saved the universe how many times? They could bend the rules for him. They can let him be, you know, if he's retired, then he better be with Carter. He should be with Carter no matter what.
I agree.
Yeah. But they could also say, yeah, okay, we typically would have retired you by now, but you're Jack O'Neill. You get to pretty much anything you want. So they can do all of this. But like Jay likes to tease and say, oh, they should kill him because it would be shocking and a great thing to do. And that's a cliche mistake.
Yeah, it's a cliche mistake, which they kind of teased at least two or three times throughout the entire run of the series.
Right, right.
One of the things that I feel a lot of shows need to be mindful of is they're writing for people that have a better level of expectations from their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use this as an example. I enjoyed Supernatural, loved it, watched it for 15 years. However, the biggest problem I have with shows of that format is if it's an episodic series, keep it an episodic series. Don't suddenly shift it where, oh, well, we have this grand arc over the course of, 5 years.
Doctor Who.
And then, we're going to have a grand arc over a season and then wrap it up in 3 episodes. That is an insult, I think, to writer or not only to the writers, because it doesn't give them the chance to like really sink into the meat and potatoes of characters. And two, it's an insult to the viewer because then they feel like they're kind of wasting their time. Like having an occasional episode where it's like, hey, this is a filler episode. Okay, that's all right. But when half your season is filler episodes.
Agreed. Well, and the other point is you would be destroying your audience, the heart and soul of the show, if you dare to harm Jack O'Neill. You know, I'd rather him be retired and not show up than to have him be killed because I'd be done with it. And, you know, it's part of my DNA. But you kill my hero? No. You've enraged the audience that people would leave it in droves.
Yeah. There's only probably one way it could be done, and it would have to be the perfect storm of everything as to why it had to happen. Like, I'm not putting this out into the world or into the universe because it's a real possibility, but in the event when that day does happen with the actor, it would be the respectful thing to do. One of two things.
Dean Stockwell. Yeah,
Dean Stockwell. That was a beautiful way that they handled it.
Then you have no choice but to say, yeah, Jack passed away. That's acceptable because you
that's an acceptable way. Or he is retired and he and Carter or whomever
Carter
has retired off planet.
There you go. You don't have to kill him. Exactly. You do not kill our hero. You just keep, because the other point I brought up was, this is my hope during seasons 9 and 10, as horrible as moments were and the mistakes that were made, I thought as long as it's still on the air, that means Jack could still come back. Jack, that was my hope. Jack can still come back.
Yep.
Now they wasted him in the beginning and then started to use him better on Atlantis. And then the episode, The Shroud, that was a great one.
Yeah. And then a couple episodes of University popped up in.
Perfect. So there you go. So you don't limit your opportunities with your actors. You don't kill them.
You have them
frozen in carbonite or whatever.
Something, like, yeah. Like, even, you know, with, you know, now, of course, this would get into a lot of, like, working with people's estates and stuff. Realistically, with the advent of some of the technology we have nowadays, they could wrap up a story arc that he or she or they may have been involved with, so that they can get it to the point where they can have the character drift into the background and be referenced without actually being shown.
Well, that's what they were supposed to do more of during seasons 9 and 10. And, you know, I was just telling Mikey, my son, for those who don't know, we have these deep philosophical conversations of music and everything. I said, you know, and he hasn't seen seasons 9 or 10. He's still on the beginning of season 7.
Okay.
have a box of tissues ready for episode Heroes 1 and 2.
I know. But there were moments where Jack should have either been shown or mentioned. He's mentioned a little bit, but there, like, we never got the explanation of where he went. All of a sudden, you show to throw Ben Browder, who is stiff as a board, and what, he's supposed to take the place of Jack? Oh, I don't think so. And, you know, and they never told us. We had to look online for the.
I mean, honestly, I just presumed he ended up going to Homeland or Homeworld Security.
Well,
we didn't have that confirmed for what, at least half the season.
And then they never, and this is the same old thing we always say, with a sentence, they could have confirmed that he and Carter are together.
Yeah.
The end. Like, they edit out the great episode from Atlantis where she talks to Kylie about the guy in Washington that she won't say his name. I just showed Mikey that clip.
Yeah.
But yet it's canon because, you know, Paul Malozzi had said, yeah, that's canon. It doesn't matter if it was shown or not. Like, that's why I love you.
Oh, it's always interesting to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff they post.
Yeah. So with the writer's strike over, we're expected to hear something very soon. It was supposed to be announced at Comic-Con in San Diego. Yeah. Well, now it's – they're basically working on the movie, apparently –
yeah, there's some.
They're almost done writing it or something. Something's happening.
Yeah, because I know they apparently, I don't remember what podcast or website or whatever, but apparently they had been working on the prototype builds of things like set pieces, scoping out, I guess, some locations and stuff for filming and such in Europe, which is pretty typical for films, I feel like. They always go Europe to film or whatever. Yeah. Now, granted, you know, you also got like the grand cinematic type stuff, like, pardon me, Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, and all that stuff that kind of does that as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the latest. We're to quote Sidetrack, sixth chevron is locked. We're like right at the crest of the hill.
Yep.
I'm not going to feel comfortable until I know that they're doing it right. They could come back with it. They could, you know, never mention the original team. They could muck it up a la seasons 9 and 10. So I'm praying. I came up with the easy thing, which is just give us our team and have the new characters around. You know, you don't do a, guess what? They're in the background waving, our guys. Yeah. But you need to focus on Mr. Handsome and Pretty Face Science Girl. She's your new Carter. That's not going to work.
It's not. Don't replicate the characters. The best thing that I can suggest with anything is don't carbon copy characters. Like, there was something you and I had talked about a little while back, how we liked how this character was kind of like an amalgamation of this character and this character with these differences. And like, I think we were talking about Atlantis, how Shepard is not a carbon copy of O'Neill.
Nope.
You know, Ronan was not a carbon copy of it was a nice amalgamation of the characters where it was, okay, I can see that element of Jack, but I can also see this element of, you know, Daniel or Teal'c or whomever.
Perfect and example.
Yeah.
Jonas is not Daniel.
No, he's not.
They tried to make him Daniel.
No, they didn't. And I appreciated that.
And the problem that they did with Hick Boy, Mitchell, was we're gonna start writing catchphrases for him, and he's going to be like, you know, the we're going to – force that on you, and we're going to have him talk like he's from the South once in a while when he talks about his grandma.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Ben Browder as a person, I think, is wonderful. Mm-hmm. As Mitchell, God awful.
Yeah. Realistically, here's honestly who I would have loved to see end up taking in that role of in charge of SG-1. Lorne. because yes. they'd introduced him in one episode of SG-1, and then for a season or two had him on Atlantis. And the actor is a good actor. I think he would have backed up with Amanda Tapping and Chris Judge and Michael Shanks. That would have been a great way to lift him up. And then they could have, like, that's the thing with a lot of these shows. Like, when you have an ensemble cast in an environment where there is that turnover of characters, mm-hmm. in the real world, a military team does have changeover in their makeup. It's the fact of life. Mm-hmm. With the cop shows, with NCIS, with CSI, throw out all the acronyms, there's always that rotation of the characters. But they very rarely just, boom, here's your character that you have to get used to. It's right. This character is coming in the pipeline. Here's a couple episodes so that you get introduced to them. You see their makeup with the other characters. Chicago PD is a great example of that, where they introduce a character like five episodes before they become more or less kind of a team member, or at least a probie or rookie or whatever, you know. And I think that's something that any moving forward Stargate show would benefit from, you know, that approach.
Agreed. Absolutely. And, you know, like I was saying, though, what you do is you give us our team. Mm-hmm. I don't care if Jack's retired and you call him back. You know, I can write that in my sleep. You know, Daniel's still there. He was never part of the military. Carter could be a general now. She could be running the base for all I care. Let her, mm-hmm. You know, whatever.
Well, ironically, that's the approach I took with my RPG game.
Yeah.
She's actually in charge of the SGC.
Let her. I mean, you know, but that way they're still there. By the way, bring Jonas back.
I think it would be interesting to see, because, I mean, his character had some interesting storylines going on.
Great stuff. So, you know, have them there and maybe, you know, show them go on a mission or whatever your movie plot is or whatever. But give us our team. Again, quoting Jay. Thank you, Jay. I haven't watched it yet, but I know the basic idea of Picard season 3 is getting the team back together.
Yes.
Not there yet, but that's...
You'll love it.
That's how you do it. That is exactly how you do it, because that's what we want. We mm-hmm. want more of what we love. You know, and what you do is you bring in these other characters during their adventure. And that way, when the other guys aren't as present on screen, but they're still there, don't get rid of anybody. You could still have the newer guys go out and, you know, and that way it's not such a slap in the face a la Mitchell. You know what I mean? Like, Mitchell came in and you're like, I don't like this guy from the moment I see him. And the more that they try and cram him down my throat, first of all, I knew he wasn't going to be O'Neill. That's fine. I'm a mature adult. But he was not written well, and it was very ham-fisted. And then, of course, we don't even have to freaking mention the space bimbo, Vala. Come on.
We know you love Vala.
Yeah, sure. I try when they show it on the Pluto. Pluto has mm-hmm. a Stargate channel. So I have it on basically all the time.
And just actually started getting our dog to sit and watch.
There you go. If it's a season 9 or 10 episode and Jack's not in it, I'll watch it for a couple minutes just to see how it rests now that time has passed. Mm-hmm. GD it. Even the decent ones where, you know, especially season 10 got a little better than season 9 as far as the mistakes that were being made.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is also the actors actually got, you know, Ben Browder and Claudia Black got more time as their characters.
Well, but they toned her down. They stopped her being as obnoxious, but she was still god awful. And it's the quest episode where the dragon shows up in the cave. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a later episode.
Second half of the tenth season.
Exactly. Well, she's walking behind them. She can't walk like a normal person. She has to hang on people and make faces and look, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I hate you so much. You would not be allowed on a military team, let alone a civilian team. Holy crap, go away. And that's after how many years of, you know, it being around. I peek in and try and test the waters to see where my tolerance is. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's still,
which is interesting because she played such a different character on Farscape.
Right. Right. And the writers took pride in not doing that, but in hindsight. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I kind of understand because they probably didn't want to get her typecast, but still kind of like,
She was such a horse's rear end through the whole thing. And then they would cram her into a reason for being there. Like, no. And, oh, well, now you're an official member of the team. Why? Why is she a member of the team? Like, is there no protocol now? Is there no standard to quality? You know, but like
part of it, I think, is they were trying to bring in that Farscape crowd. Sure. That's why I think they went with both Ben Browder.
Oh, I know. Clark. I know for a fact that it was because I think it was Robert Cooper said that's why he did it. Okay. Well, you tarnished it. Anyway, let's get off that tangent. We do eventually have to talk about this episode, but
yeah, we should.
I want to give everybody an update on the MacGyver SG-1 audio series.
Yes, let's hear it.
Okay. Episode 17 has been released on your podcast apps. It is, if you've seen Fragile Balance, you'll appreciate it. It has to do slightly with that. You don't have to have seen it, but it would help. You'll appreciate the callbacks and stuff. Now I've decided, and everybody let me know what you think. The next episode that I'm currently writing is a Christmas episode.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I'll give you a little hint because, you know, we only got the one MacGyver Christmas episode, which was a heavy one and a very, showing the depths of his history and personality. Mm-hmm. And then we never got another one.
Which is interesting because I always feel like that was a hallmark of like shows from the 80s and 90s. Got to have that Christmas episode each season.
Well, that's the thing too.
Although I kind of appreciate that they didn't do it.
Exactly. Unless it was going to be good, it would, you know, MacGyver didn't do filler episodes typically. It was, So I would have liked to have seen him enjoy Christmas. That would have been nice. And after the resolution of the Madonna, there you go. So
yeah.
The other thing is we never got a Stargate Christmas episode. The closest we ever got was Unending, was the last episode of the series where they're stuck on the ship and it shows them over time.
Yeah.
At one point they're sitting at the table and Cam's got the, you know, Santa hat on and blah, blah, blah.
Oh God, could you have seen Daniel explaining Christmas to Teal'c?
That would have been
wonderful.
Well, buckle up because that's
I look forward to hearing it.
And it's going to be basically right after MacGyver and Jack know about each other. Well, it's that Christmas that follows.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting because there's going to be some heart-to-hearts happening there, some deep conversations. But I want to give people a Christmas episode. Everybody loves a Christmas episode. And, you know, I get to see the tension and the, you know, Jack and Carter aren't together, but you know how they feel about each other, and Christmas brings out that closeness and, you know,
mm-hmm.
So there's your tease. Everybody let me know in the comments what you think of that. Also, as far as that goes, the next episode that I'm going to write after, I'm like, three story arcs ahead.
I know you said you were doing a lot of writing ahead.
Yesterday, I thought of a brand new one, which I can't wait on. It's going to be the next episode after the Christmas episode. And it's going to blow your mind. I don't just mean you in particular. I mean people. You're not going to see it coming, and it's going to be something. Also, I put the second episode on YouTube. So if anybody would please subscribe and like our channel, that'll help because that's kind of what I'm going by. If people are watching the episode and I'm getting a lot of views, then I know that there's an audience to go through the trouble of converting the audio to a video
format
for this.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it. And people, I got a couple comments already. One guy said, why did nobody think of this before? I'm like, thank you.
Well, actually, people did think of this before. Mac did. It's been an audio format for a while, just, you know, hasn't migrated over to YouTube yet. So,
right. Well, and then somebody else said it was like listening to an old Sherlock Holmes radio show. And he now can't wait to hear the next part, and he'll know to have a cup of tea with him. That's sweet. I
think that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, right? The second episode is now up. I'll continue to do it as long as people want me to do it, but I need feedback from you guys. I need likes. I need subscribe. I said before about our Patreon. That'd be swell. Go to our stores. If you look down at the bottom here, there's me.
Yeah, down at the bottom here, ticker, yeah.
Scrolly thingy. Just go to the Forever Adventure Network. Blogs, music, stores. I was talking about your store, Nate.
Yep. Yeah, commission credentials. That's the fun stuff that I get to do.
So please go. That was a cough, but I'll take it. Thank you. Take all the
blessings. Bless you is a general term anyway.
Right. Hey, I'm never going to correct people. So I need feedback. I need you guys. I need people to subscribe. Basically, come on, share this stuff. This is, you know, if you like it, let us know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if you enjoy what we talk about, what we showcase, what we put our heart and energy into, share the love with other folks so that, you know, they can enjoy it as well.
And as also
it's like you and I recommending shows to each other. We don't recommend something because just arbitrary willy nilly. It's something we enjoy. We think you'd enjoy. So we, yeah.
Yeah. I also explain the contributions go a long way because if I'm going to be doing this live stuff, it's not free.
Yeah.
So any dollar that you can send our way, God bless
you. Yeah, I mean, that's what helped get you a better camera. Cause I remember while ago, you had a camera that it was looking at like something out of Minecraft. It was pixelated and everything.
Yeah. It started to go on me and I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. Now I got this light and, you know,
all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. All sorts of professional. Okay. Let's get into the episode then. I feel like I'm forgetting stuff, but you know what? I know.
It wouldn't be the first time we have to like, oh, wait, nope, there's this.
Yeah. My wife at seven, well, a minute ago was asking Chick-fil-A, Subway, or Chinese. We're having Chinese. She just said, I'm doing Chinese. All right, let me ask you, Nate. Chinese, General Tso's, that's my typical go-to.
I mean, I'm partial to sweet and sour chicken, but General Tso's is pretty good. Tell her to get me a couple of the sugar donuts. I mean, they might be a little hard by the time we see each other again, but
yeah, a little bit. I'm gonna say that or orange chicken if it's possible. Ooh, General Tso's can be a little spicy, and orange chicken is less so.
Yeah,
it's the same thing, only it's not as syrupy. I don't like the syrupiness of it. All right, so there. I responded to her. She should be thrilled. We'll see. We'll see if she responds again. So anyway,
sauce, crispy chicken. That's what Leif is suggesting.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Leif. It's Leif. He made sure. Okay. Yeah, because I said back with Leif Garrett, I always thought it was Leif, but it's Leif.
No, I mean, I appreciate the clarification. So.
Yeah. Well, Leif is wonderful on Facebook and everything, all the socials. So it was nice to see a familiar face. He's our first contributor here to the live feed.
Nice.
Let's see. Okay. So, she responded. Okay. All right. Good enough. Now, the episode that we will be discussing of the first season, we're still in the first season. Why is it giving me this? 2 seconds. I want to read some credits. That's why I'm looking.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's not Flames End because I believe it in order it would have been Flames End, but I'm pretty sure we had already discussed Flames End.
Yeah, I think Flames End we had done
early
a while back because I know we had jumped around a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, no, let's stay on a straight line.
Yeah.
So this one is Countdown. Okay, so let me give you the MacGyver is a deadly extortionist who has planted a bomb on a ship in an effort to gain several million dollars. So this is based on a movie with Richard Harris. I mean, at least the idea is.
Yeah, the general concept.
I want to see if I can. I'm going to go to MacGyver Online, our friends at MacGyver Online.
Always a good resource.
So because I want to get people's names. For example, Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie is the actor who, come on. I'm just going to, 2 seconds, everybody. So sorry. MacGyver Online. Countdown. I first knew him. I mean, I guess MacGyver would have been the first one. But here we go. He was, to me, the captain on 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
That's what
he's also. He also plays Rufus, well, played Rufus on Supernatural.
And he was on Stargate.
Yep. He was a
general.
General. I was going to say, nope, it wasn't Colonel. That's right.
Yeah, on Tangent, I believe, is the episode.
I believe so. It was where they introduced the first prototype for the F3. I think it was 301, because it wasn't the 302 yet, because it was just the, let's strap a sticker of the U.S. Air Force onto a death glider.
Yeah, that's what Jacob says. Okay, so this aired in 86, written by David Ketchum and Tony DeMarco. Director was Stan Jolly. All right. The actor who was Charlie is Stephen Williams. Carol is Ellen Bry. Let's see. Okay, so this is, how do we start talking about this? There are some, I'm still looking at Lace. Orange sauce, crispy chicken. Yeah. We'll see what she comes home with, I guess. So this is an episode that it's like the only time that they talk about MacGyver being in Vietnam.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm fairly certain this is the only reference or reference in mass, because they touch on it a couple times throughout the episode. I was going to
say, they talk about him military in the past, but he was part of the bomb disposal unit in Vietnam in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of takes care of that branch. Or that knowledge, I mean.
Yeah.
One of the things that they took from this on the Not MacGyver show, that's what we're calling it,
frankly. I prefer Fogyver, but
I know that's a little too fancy. I like to get right to the heart of it. Because if I say I've tried your way, I've said,
yeah, I know people are like, huh? What? Yeah.
Oh, what is it? We have a mohawk. I'm like, okay, let's back it up. It's not MacGyver. So I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. So
yeah. Well, my best friend put it best. It was like, they were trying to make a Mission Impossible series under the MacGyver name.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, one of the things that they took, they gave Not MacGyver a black friend, Charlie, who he was in the Army with, and they didn't kill him right away. He came back two or three times, which I'll give them credit. If you know, you knew he was going to die at some point, because the likelihood
increased the more time he was on screen.
Well, no, they didn't have original thoughts in their head as far as, you know, those writers went. Mm-hmm. So the fact, though, I will give them credit, they were smart enough to hold off and not one and done it. They went, you know what, let's give him a friend that he cares about. And a couple seasons later, basically, it was the you could tell they were the same writers who used to write Hawaii 5-0, because Hawaii 5-0 came so predictable. They're like, oh, this guy, all right, he'll die, he's gonna die. Yep. You just met him,
and he's 28 minute mark, what's his face has got to go shirtless. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. McGarrett. That's what
McGarrett. That's the guy's name.
Mike and I always do that. When, ever since he was little and that was on, he was going to go swimming. And I said, come on, toughen up. You got your shirt off. Be McGarrett. So that we, you know, that was always our little jab at the show. So anyway, they did keep him around long enough to make his death impactful for those who made the mistake of never seeing the actual MacGyver. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he gets introduced and it's great. First of all, we don't get an opening gambit. Those are pretty much gone.
Yeah. It was a nice moment between him and his maintenance lady.
The landlady. Yeah. Susan. So that kind of felt like, well, it's not an opening gambit, but it was a prelude to the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because once he gets the call, you're off and running. You got to see some personal life. And I liked Susan. I liked the fact that he had people to interact with in his daily life.
Yeah.
It's very early on still. You know, I think this might be her last appearance. He's making her breakfast and he's using one of those. I remember the robot. They actually sold that toy.
Yeah, and I think my brother had one.
There you go. Yeah. I always wanted one, especially after seeing that episode. I'm like, MacGyver has one.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, drops the egg on her shoe. And
yeah.
But it's a great character build for both of them. Because it's showing him be playful and he's, you know, having fun. And he's also kind of flirty with her.
Yeah. And I mean, you see him be a bit silly, you know, just a glimpse of just a bit of silly playfulness, which.
Yeah.
That's the thing I always love about the MacGyver series. It's those little kind of like interpersonal moments where, you know, you'll see him interacting like with Susan, and there's a great moment later on in the episode, which I'll touch on too, but it's just those very subtle, very just human moments. And I credit not just the writers on that, but I also credit Richard Dean Anderson on that, because I'm sure that was just his natural, you know,
way of being.
I
talked to him about that last time I saw him, and he goes, oh yeah, you just kind of get a feel of what to do, and you try stuff, and you figure if you got it wrong or if they don't want it, they'll tell you. But
they
typically went, that's wow, we didn't write that, and that's fantastic. You know, that's why we write those characters based on Richard Dean Anderson, because he gives us that type of
extra. We know, you know, we learn enough about him that, you know, okay, if we give him a window to do something here, he's going to do it in a way that makes sense for the character and the story.
Well, also, you know. While you were saying that, I was thinking one of the things that the writers would do, and they did it for a couple seasons, I'd say up until typically the third, they would try it. They would always have MacGyver in his free time working on something electrical or an experiment with chemicals. I mean, Phoenix Under Siege, he's trying to make non-alcoholic eggnog, you know, and they kind of set it up where, oh, he's it's a experiment. Something could explode at any time. He drinks it. And yeah. So I understand what they were trying to do. If you don't know, if you're the writer and you don't know the character yet, you're going to go, well, if he's smart, he's going to do smart things in his off time, which means he's going to fiddle with, you know, he's going to do it again in an upcoming episode that we're going to talk about, where he experiments on the side at home. Okay, to a point. I mean, they eventually stopped doing that because it wasn't necessary. We knew enough about Rick and MacGyver to not try and go, no, you got to understand, he's so smart. Even in his free time, he's working on chemicals.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to like touch on it periodically, like, oh, hey, you know, he wanted to see if he could make non-alcoholic eggnog or this or that. Who doesn't do things similar, parallel to what they do for a day job?
Sure.
To some degree. Some folks don't. Like carpenters, sometimes they'll be fiddling around with stuff around the house. Mm-hmm. Landscapers, auto mechanics, you know.
When they would do it,
it's bound to happen. But it's like sometimes I think people have this false expectation of, oh, well, you know, an auto mechanic is going to be always working on stuff. No, they're not. They're not.
Yeah.
Why would MacGyver be experimenting all the time?
He would, right. And it always
like he might have his projects that he wants to work on.
Sure.
But it's not going to be an all-consuming thing.
And you can always tell when it was written as opposed to it was Rick. Because, you know, these early episodes, you're going, is he really going to be working on a computer program? And is he really going to be trying to, you know, make a robot do stuff? And then it felt hard written. Here's Leif says, great episode, suspense end to end. And they even get down to the personal level. I'm going to share this with everybody. We see a softer Mac.
Oh, absolutely.
Prototype episode for the rest of the series. Very good point.
Oh, like, absolutely. Wholeheartedly agree.
You notice how I'm learning how to use all the little
things? I'm impressed because usually I'll get like a text message. How do I do this?
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Yeah. So, well, I've been practicing. Yeah, well, I just started this yesterday. I was so excited. That's why.
You're a pro at this.
Yeah. I'm like, let's do it. Well, because again, I don't like to be a pest to anybody. So if I can do it, you know. Anyway, back to the episode. So the Not MacGyver show did this crap all the time and never stopped. Mm-hmm. Oh, because they want you to know he's supposed to be a genius. You have to know he's a genius. So every chance he gets, he's even in his free time, he's creating. Oh, I know what it was during COVID. I'm creating a new way to beat COVID. Oh, God. Stop it. Get off your podium. And, you know, but they would do that right from the beginning of that.
Terrible. Oh, yeah. Show. Like, and the fact that they just, they glossed over every MacGyverism and just made him arrogant and just.
Right. But again, let's not.
I don't want to get into a long diatribe. That's not why people are here.
Right. We've done that. You can listen to previous episodes to enjoy.
Oh, good God. Yeah.
But it is a point to be made that you could see where they went. Oh, because the writers of the Not MacGyver were given a handful of episodes from the first season and said, there's your basic idea. Just, you know. Personality-wise, we don't care, but...
Like Leif had said, had they used this episode as an example, it would have been perfect because it's a good pacing of the suspense, the personal moments, just...
And instead, they use it as an example of, oh, wait. Forget the heart and the soul of it. Let's just take the nuggets of writing things that we can steal. Charlie, okay... he does side projects. Okay, that's enough. Yep. You know,
The Vietnam thing. Yeah, we'll just modernize that for, you know,
Desert Storm or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of those flashbacks too, actually, in that thing where he is at Desert Storm or somewhere Saudi Arabia doing something. Yeah. Which is okay, whatever. But
at some point, it ends up becoming a gimmick because. They fall back onto it all the time.
So with this, MacGyver is making the mistake and dropped the egg on her foot. Whoops. You know, and it's cute and it's flirtatious and it's not too much. And then he gets the call with this. There's a bomb on a boat. One had already gone off, right? On a cruise ship.
Yep.
And that's how they knew, oh, crap, we found a couple more.
Well, at that point, I think it was just one more they had found.
No.
Nope. They found one. They got there. The second one showed up because I just watched it.
Right.
The second they found the second bomb after the first one exploded. After they got onto the ship, they were looking at the one that they found, and then they found one at the other end of the ship.
Okay. Because
they
were together on one bomb.
Mm-hmm. And then after that incident, there's a third one. So this bomber thought ahead. I'm impressed with their craftsmanship too, because those electrical boxes look legit.
Right. So. Well, so, you know, he shows up and is about to go into the Phoenix. That's not even the Phoenix Foundation yet. It's still DXS.
I think the building was just stamped federal building or something like that.
Right.
You could tell this was where they were again, going back to the last episode that we had reviewed, you could tell this was where they were starting to transition from DHX to Phoenix Foundation.
Yeah, DXS. As a matter of fact, let me give you a quote. This is from MacGyver Online. They give you things like great quotes. He actually they have him do the narrate. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. I had this contract with P. Thornton's outfit. So they don't specifically even say DXS. Just know that he's working with him.
Yeah. And I think this is where they were really trying to refine where Pete works and his connections with MacGyver.
Right. And they gave Pete a lot to do in this episode.
Oh yeah. This was actually a pretty good episode and I liked how it showed their friendship in just ways that, to us make sense because we know and love the characters, but it shows, their relationship in interesting ways with like how they know, we need to talk in private type situations.
Yeah, that was good. That was very good. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Right, yep.
So he's about to go into the building, and Charlie shows up, and you find out that Charlie was his teammate during the Vietnam years, which MacGyver was only there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they said he was only there for 2 or 3 years.
71. Wait. He served in Vietnam after 1973, and I know these guys actually gave us the years.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, as I recall, it's only a couple of years.
Yeah.
And they give you the number of bombs that they, defeated together, and they were a great team, and all right, they're going to go together. Isn't this nice? Mm-hmm. But it really is very revealing that they're like, no, we need you to understand that MacGyver was in the military, which is so funny because typically now when he's up against a military bureaucrat, he's not thrilled. It's not, he's not like, yay, carry
on. Yeah. You can tell he has certain feelings after he served his time. He's, respectful, but
he also knows the military way, and
He knows how to, communicate and coordinate, I think is the term I'll use.
Well, I address all of this in one of the previous episodes of the audio series.
Mm-hmm.
When Jack and Mac are getting to know each other, they compare notes about their military background. Cool. So anybody who isn't caught up, you buckle up, it's in there. But, the whole idea of MacGyver having to carry a gun, because it doesn't matter if he wants to carry a gun. You're in the army. You're carrying a gun. Mm-hmm. You have to be trained on how to shoot a gun. So it makes sense to why he would be the bomb disposal guy too. Because you're not infantry.
Yeah, he would probably have been issued a gun, but it would be incredibly rare he'd have to use it.
Right. So then they're in the copter. Oh, here's a neat little nugget. They tease each other about some night when they were off duty.
Mm-hmm.
And MacGyver had one of his more memorable nights.
Yep, in the French Quarter.
Oui, monsieur.
Yep.
I love
that.
Right. Well, think about it this way. MacGyver as a kid, basically. He had to be a teenager, early 20s tops maybe. A lot of people have to learn through experience how to be a better person. So he was probably like all the other military guys, hey, we're off the base, let's go find a girl type of thing. It's weird, though.
It's something that seems so alien, but yet also kind of like the hallmark of someone choosing that life path at that particular time in their life,
I don't ever see MacGyver going and getting himself a hooker at any point in his life. I don't see him picking up an easy girl either, even way back when. I think he probably made a connection with some girl
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Charlie was out there boozing it up and grabbing any.
Oh, very, very possibly. He seems the ladies' man type, you know.
Right. But also the cliche, he's going to be the guy that just, I don't even know her name. Ho, 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 ho.
Possibly. I don't know.
You know, where MacGyver could have been minding his own business and maybe struck up a conversation with somebody and they had their time together. And
yeah.
Right? I mean, that sounds more
yeah
like him. So that's a neat little bit that could be glossed over if you're not listening. If you're into the personalities, you're gonna go, oh, okay, that's kind of revealing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then they're lowering the rope or lowering their equipment. Which mm-hmm. I love that. This is a perfect example, and it sounds like it's a well, sure, that's what you have to do because he has to be MacGyver. Their equipment gets lost, the line snaps and gets dropped into the ocean.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So this would have been fine if they had the equipment. It still would have been suspenseful. It still would have been, you know, intriguing. But yeah. Now you've upped the ante in the only way that MacGyver could.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that. I mean, they kind of... It surprised me because I was sitting there watching the episode for the refresher, and I was thinking of, you know, lines that were said later on in the episode. I noticed that both of them did get equipment, but you could tell it was thrown together equipment because it looked like it was whatever was in the maintenance area of the ship.
And the kitchen.
So they had, yeah, the kitchen and you know, whatever they could, because they had the dental picks that they were using. And other little smaller tools, nothing like major power tools or anything like that. But you could tell they had to throw together impromptu bomb disposal kits.
And if they, you know, if any show afterwards ever does that, oh crap, we lost our stuff. We're going to have to make it up on the fly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's mind now goes to MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So MacGyver was the first to do it because only MacGyver could. And anything that is similar in any way, typically, if the writer is smart, will come right out and say, we kind of have to MacGyver this.
Yeah.
Right? Because that I'm like, yeah, Jordan Wright, you're going to mention him. That's exactly yep. what you do. So my bride is home. I'll be curious to see what we get. Yeah, they start working on it, and I like the captain. Actually, the original captain gets killed in the first explosion.
Yeah, in the first explosion, he goes to investigate, and unfortunately meets their timely end. And I think what I thought was very interesting is, you know, for something in the 80s, you know, the XO for the ship was Carol. I forget what her last name is.
Hang on a second.
Because I know they had said it because he'd called her captain and I think addressed Tanner. Her by her last. Yeah. I like how this wasn't a situation where they could have done the very typical chauvinistic thing where, you know, everyone's second guessing her or whatever. Nope. Everybody was very respectful of her position. You know, she was the acting captain and she was treated as, you know, as that title would dictate. And so I thought that was a very nice thing. And I love that. Of course, MacGyver being MacGyver immediately was, okay, you're the captain. I'm going to be respectful. And, you know, this is your boat. Where do we need to go? You know, and I love that. I mean, it's Richard Dean Anderson's MacGyver. He's
right.
It's just perfection.
Well, more importantly than the way that they treated her, I love how she was written to not be, oh, wait, I'm the woman and you need mm-hmm. to respect
There's that aspect too.
And, you know, I'm a cliche. No, they don't address it. It's she's the captain, the end. And she was yep. a good person, and she wasn't an idiot, and she wasn't trying to butt heads with anybody. Nope. It was great. She was strong yet vulnerable.
And I think that's what helped sell that aspect of the story. It was, okay, it's a Tuesday or Saturday or whatever day. It was, okay, this is the normal. Good, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so Charlie makes a mistake. They do the, okay, you know, pick a number, Mac. Oh, no, we've played this game.
Played that game already. Yep.
And Charlie makes the mistake of causing the vacuum.
He breaks the seal in the vacuum. Yeah, because the way I actually paid attention. I was looking at it, and one of the things that I noticed was when he was in there with the dental tool, he
sideways
raised it just enough that he broke the seal, and it.
Yep.
Actually, went in
the phosphorus. Boom. You know.
Yep.
Wow. Like, okay. Geez.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, we found another one. So Carol, so, you get to go and help me now.
Suit up.
And you know, the thing about this episode, which they couldn't do that often, so I'm glad it was done. Mm-hmm. It's very much a you're in a room. MacGyver is.
Oh, absolutely.
MacGyver's not running around. He's not punching the bad guys. He is going very carefully, going, okay, slowly.
Very,
slowly,
very minimalistic with the sets MacGyver was in. It was the exterior, the top floor, or, you know, the deck of the cruise ship. And then realistically, two, maybe three rooms total, because they show him walking through the maintenance area. They show him in the room with the unit. Which realistically, they may have only built one and just moved some stuff around for when it was the room that she was in and Charlie was in. So, I mean, like, in that regards, simple. Love that concept. It was really with Pete and the crew there where you actually saw them out and about more locations.
They actually have, like, new characters doing the running around, which was odd, and I wouldn't want to see this again.
Like, yeah, not all the time. You know, it served its purpose because it was done in a way that made sense. Obviously, Max on a cruise ship out in the Pacific, he's not going to be able to, you know, drive down the street to the bus stop or, you know.
Exactly. So.
But one of the things I do like, and MacGyver pointed this out right as they had revealed the new bomb. Charlie, in his last moments, gave us the clue, gave us the hint we needed. It's a vacuum. And I love that. One, not only did they confirm it for the audience, because we did see it, we heard it, but it shows that in spite of the fact that he lost a close friend, he, you know, latched onto those last words. It's a vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to die, so you better tell people what they need to know.
You know, get out what you need, you know. And I like how you see him have that moment. Now, granted, it's not a very long moment, but you see him have that moment of, you know, I just lost somebody who he and I have, I think at that point, he actually says 51 bombs defeated. Mm-hmm. And you have that, wow, okay, this is somebody that they've been through a lot. Like, right. this is someone that, I mean, not only, you know, he found out the goings on of his personal life recently, but this is a guy that he clearly did have a history. It wasn't just the, oh, he's dead, so next, you know, it was, you actually saw him just be like, this is rough.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, he realigns and is like, okay,
I've had my moment.
I'll touch on this a little bit more later, but right now I have to get through this obstacle so that I can get to what I need to do.
One of the things I meant to tell you early on, we're talking about his apartment where he lived, mm-hmm. real place, obviously.
Yeah.
You can look online. If you get that address through MacGyver Online, mm-hmm. you can do a view of what the apartment looks like.
Nice.
I'm thinking, well, if that was a set, from what I was told in the forums, they copied the exact archway and the balcony and everything to do interior shots.
Nice.
It's dead on. Another fact, though, directly across the street from, you know, when MacGyver would sit and look out on his balcony, look over at the beach, which is across the street. If you do a street view, Google Street View, mm-hmm. and you can look up and down the block and all over the place, which I've done.
Of course.
It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that is.
Directly across the street, the sidewalk that runs parallel but curves mm-hmm. is the exact spot where Jack Tripper on Three's Company in the beginning credits, when he's looking at the girls walking by, falls over on his bike into the sand.
Huh.
Yeah, it's Venice Beach.
Ain't that something? That's cool.
And this is the episode where they specifically say Venice Beach.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to hide anything. They're not saying it's somewhere else.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely.
He lives where he lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's see. So then they have to go through the step by step. And I'm not going to go over every single
nuance. Yeah.
Yeah, because you get it. When you watch the episode, they have to do. There's parts to this bomb. Okay. You
yeah, it's that
part out, but now
a multi-trigger bomb, I think, is how it was described. Yeah.
And he has to do it first, and then she has to do it. And it's neat because he's got to score the neon tube.
Yeah. And I like how they showed him doing it, but they also didn't just, you know, arbitrarily assume that she did it. They actually took the time to show her doing it. And some of it she struggled with. Some of it she was just as relatively quick as MacGyver, you know. Right. And I like that they showed that he explained things in a way that not just us as the viewers could follow it, but somebody over a mic or over a headset was able to also kind of keep pace, you know.
And she wasn't a whiner. That's the biggest thing. I liked her. I didn't have a problem with her. She didn't have an agenda.
Her agenda was to protect, save those people in that show.
I'm so scared. I don't know. Like, we didn't get that, which, you know, other shows will do or have done. It's a cliche. Yeah. I mean, they have to go through. Oh, and here's the other thing, too. The whole time while they're doing this, they are in contact with Pete and the task force that is working with
them. Trying to help find the Viking.
Yeah, including let me see what his name was. Mike Donahue, who is someone who also was a bomb guy a couple years before MacGyver. He actually ended around the time that MacGyver started in 73.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they made a point to actually say, oh, yeah, you know, he was before my time over there, or, you know, what have you.
Exactly. So, you know, he's there, and boy, he is a very recognizable actor. Michael Cavanaugh is his name. But, like, he's got a very distinct face.
Yeah. I recognized him, and it was one of those, I had to pause it because it, you know me, if I see a face that's familiar, I have to take that minute to go look. And, and I don't, you know, with certain shows, I'll pause it while I do that quick look. Unlike some folks, who will be like, I'll just let it play, you know.
Yeah, no, that's the luxury that we live in now.
Oh, God.
We don't have to run to the bathroom during a commercial for a show that's going to be shown once. We get to pause stuff and rewind stuff, and, you know.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, we do the same thing in our house. We'll be watching something. Is that? Hold on. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Oh, yeah, it is. You know, that kind of thing. So then MacGyver kind of feels like, wait a minute. Like, the fact that they went to drop off the money and catch the guy, the cops that are in the episode, and there was a false back, and they got away with it. Well, how the heck did they know? And so MacGyver is also thinking of, wait a minute, maybe it's an inside job. Who could it possibly be?
Well, and I like how they tried to do some misdirect with the episode, too. I appreciated that with the one guy that was outside the building. Well, can I carry it? It's like, why do you want to carry it? You know, like, I remember watching it originally, like, oh, well, that's the bad guy, because he wants to carry the money. He's going to, like, knock the guy down and take off with it. And I like how, you know, looking back, I can appreciate the fact that the obvious was a red herring. I love that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, again, very smart episode, especially for a first season of any show. So, yeah, then MacGyver kind of tests the waters and then gives that tip off about, hey, Pete, when I get back, we got, you know, round of golf on me, and, you know, and then that makes Pete go, you've never played a game of golf in your life.
Yeah, he's like, something's up, hold up, you know, yeah.
Which, I love before, that.
Yeah, which, you know, great character moment. I'll touch back on this real quick before we continue. When they'd gotten the news about the after Charlie had passed away, and you know, it's the reveal, oh hey Carol, you're gonna be helping me now, because I like how the one guy, Atkins, I think, had said, well, no, Captain, you know, I'll do it. You're the captain. And she goes, no, it's my responsibility. It falls on me. I trust you to do what needs to be done. And then you see this little quick moment where she walks off, I guess, to, you know, get kerflumped or whatever. And you see MacGyver just kind of like tap him on the, like, just give him a pat on the arm and like a, just a gentle like squeeze, like right by the elbow. Like, it's okay. You got this. And it's just like that right there conveys so much for the type of person MacGyver is. He has no clue who this guy is, from Tom, Dick, Harry, or Houdini, but he sees that the guy's a little nervous, a little concerned, because now he's being put into a position that he didn't sign up for, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you'll be all right. You got this. And it's just very just perfect character moment.
Well, this just in, everybody. The mystery of what I'm having for dinner is solved.
Oh, what's that?
Sorry, Leif. I'm having General Tso's chicken.
Oh, no. hopefully it's not too spicy for you.
Wait, if that doesn't get the subscriptions up for everybody on this channel, I don't know what will.
I'm just grateful you didn't have Subway.
I love my Subway.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, I like Subway too, but you can only eat so many subs.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I get a 6-inch sub every shift I work. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, MacGyver and Pete are talking, and he tells them, check this guy out. I think there's something going on.
Yeah, just something seems a bit hinky. Yeah.
And I like that they kind of toy with them. But then it comes down to, in the end, what wire is it going to be? Or, you know.
Yeah, which plug is it going to be? The yellow or the plug. Blue? Yeah, yellow or blue? And I love how it just goes to show, like, how willing this guy was for just causing the mass casualty event. He's like screaming blue, 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 like almost to the point where it's like anybody in that room, if they didn't pick up what was going on, they were clearly not paying attention. And I loved how Pete like just bam, immediately was in action. And the guy that was his like second in command on the task force that was out with him out in the field, like it was immediately up and like already had him in like an arm lock. It was like these guys were not, like, they picked up on it immediately. And I love that. It just goes to show that Pete had picked the right people to have his back, mm-hmm. in spite of having this, you know, Michael guy, which, I mean, he kept his motives close to the chest throughout the entire thing until that last moment where MacGyver just kind of like nudged him a little bit, nudged him, and then it's like, okay, now or never.
And also, you're down to seconds. He says, hold on, Carol. Hold on, Carol. I'm pulling the yellow.
Yep.
And that way, that was smart, because if he's wrong and he dies, she knows to pull the other one.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, smart characters all around. That's the one thing about MacGyver. You did not get dumb, clumsy buffoons. Even the guys who are supposed to be, say, henchmen.
Yeah.
Very seldom did you find an idiot. You know, and if he was, he was the one guy who was the heavy. You're there to be the muscle. You don't have to think, kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just very well, like the whole series from beginning to end was always very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that some of the characters, you know, we only see once or twice, but they have a really good impact.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You kind of want to see more.
Yeah. Like, I do love the fact that, because, you know, they were filming in Canada, you do see a certain pool of actors from time to time pop up. And not every single episode.
They brought back actors that they liked.
Yeah. Like Donna Davis was in a handful of episodes, because he was also Dana Claire's body double, which I thought was beautiful. You know, that we got to see him periodically. Usually it was a guy in a single scene. I don't think he was in anything more than just one scene. But then eventually, you know, we see him as General Hammond.
No, he had a prominent role.
Did he have a prominent role?
I mean, he was in the endangered episode.
Okay.
where
I'll have to go back and
Mom. He was he was the reasonable hunter. He's like, look, he doesn't want to know us. He doesn't know us. He doesn't want to know us. Let's just get the heck out of here. And yeah, but he was also the cement truck driver in the episode where he's in that scene.
Yeah, that's the scene I was thinking of. I completely forgot he played a hunter. I knew he was in at least one shot where he was wearing flannel, but it was the 80s. Just about everybody wore flannel. So,
Leif says the operations room looks awesome. By the way, the computers are large and impressive. Love the look of the room. Also, the map which Pete poses in front of in the intro. Good eye.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and it was a very believable building or a very believable location, absolutely, with the windows, the setup with the computers and everything. It looked like something that made sense for, you know, what they were trying to accomplish.
And I remember Rick going on talk shows talking about the set designs that these guys do and the amount of detail and work. And boy, he's right to be impressed, because even all these years later, I believe I'm in the houseboat. I didn't know that was a mock-up of the inside of that houseboat to have room for the cameras or Pete's office. You know, like, you go, no, that's, I assume they just said, we're going to use that room.
Yeah. Well, and that says a lot of the care for behind the scenes as well. Like I know there are times where Jess and I will be watching something nowadays and we'll be watching it. And I'm like, that doesn't spatially make sense for that to be that way. And she'll like look at me and I'm like, well, no, because if you're, you know, like my brain looks at it and I'm like, well, if you're going up the stairs here and you go here, where's this, when according to the outside of the house the wall's like here, so like this whole area doesn't make sense. Sometimes she'll like, why do you do that, because now I can't unsee.
You're right though. King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond, they didn't care. And that ticks me off to this day. Cause when we watch them,
the houseboat does mimic the interior, like the,
exact.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that's why you go, oh, clearly. Cause they care. Whereas with those sitcoms to this day, when we watch them, they didn't care about getting things right. Like, you can't show the exterior of Doug and Carrie's house with no porch, and yet the scene is them walking out on a porch, or the windows aren't where they're supposed to be, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond. It's the second floor is the cottage. The can't think of what the name of the style is.
Cape Cod.
Thank you, Cape Cod. But yet they go upstairs and they have giant rooms. There's nothing arch. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. They didn't, you know, and that type of crap drives me out of my skull.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So the people on MacGyver did an excellent
job. They had that level of care.
And then when they moved down to Stargate, well, they actually used the inside of the house. Jack's house is Jack's house. That's the actual inside. Which, by the way, I'm going to post. I posted on the Facebook page of the audio series, MacGyver SG-1, Nudge, Nudge, Wink, Wink, that I did you can look at the actual blueprint layout to both floors of his house, because it was for sale. So you can go online and look at every floor. Because in Stargate, you only see the kitchen,
the living room, a bedroom, and that little hall, and that snippet of the hallway, I believe.
Well, those walls are gone.
Now, I was going to say, you and I talked about that in the
kitchen and the dining room is one big, So I'm going to post those when I remember to download.
I'll shoot you a text to remind you.
Huh?
I'll shoot you a text to remind you.
Right. But yeah, it's impressive. And boy, if I ever had $1 billion, I would be remaking that house here in Pennsylvania, just because I love the layout of it.
The house was very well laid out too.
And the downstairs is another freaking house.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. They had another kitchen down there.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, so the episode ends with them leaning, you know, outside, and she convinces MacGyver basically to take a vacation.
Yeah. Take a little bit of time to, you know, just recoup a little bit. Yeah.
And he says, do I get to sit at the captain's table?
I love that cute little moment too.
Right. Because
it continues that like little flirtatiousness that he's got.
Right. Like
not overbearing, not uncomfortable, not creepy. It's just that playful little, you know, and then that's it. You know.
Right. Like he's, you could tell they weren't romantic with each other. They didn't, it didn't feel that way, but it also felt like, you know, do I get to sit with you? Cause I think you're special kind of a thing. And it's a nice thing to kind of say to somebody and to lift somebody up. You know, he may have saved the whole boat, but he's throwing it back in her direction to go, you know, you're special.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is the
icing on the cake, I think.
Kinder thing to do as a human being, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I try to always do that in my personal life. If I can throw something nice at somebody, I didn't need to, but a nice compliment, then do it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's it for that episode.
I believe we hit the high notes, and yeah.
Right? I mean, there's nothing negative to say about it. I can't nitpick or
no.
Whine about anything, even you know, it's a first season episode. I'll be excited to move on when we are beyond the. These still feel like they're very early on. Like, we're not. I know who MacGyver is, and I knew it then when I first watched this, but you could still feel that the writers are not quite sure.
Yeah, you can tell they're on the path to get. To solidify everything.
For example,
but
the second season, if you look, there's a Bible of when he moved to the different apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs was that store, and apparently they had planned on him having more interaction with the husband and wife who ran it, and they were his landlords, and he was going to have they were going to kind of treat him like a son kind of thing. And they didn't end up going down that path. And part of me kind of mourns that.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see.
Right? But again, I can see why they didn't, because what we got in the second season was excellent. And if you didn't have time for that stuff, then, you know, but they wrote
it. Why try to force it? Yeah.
They wrote it in case they needed it, which I love. It's out there. You can watch it. Probably MacGyver Online have it. I mean, I'm sure they have it.
If not, they might have a link to where it's at. Yeah.
Exactly. And the forums on there, I told you last time, are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody, look it. If you enjoy this, whether you're listening to it live with us like Leif, or if you're tuning in anytime after, if this was fun to listen to and you enjoy it, one, please subscribe, please like, share, you know, all the cliche things that you do.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely let us know, you know, if this is a format that, you know, that works, we can stick with it. Just got to remember, time is a time, not, you know, because when you'd said we're on Streamlabs, I thought it was like the Zoom type call or whatever, where it was just you and I. Then when I hop, I'm like, oh, wow, we have an audience. Whoops.
Right. That's why I'm like, I need you now. Now, because I'm watching, I'm here setting everything up, and the clock ticks down. You have 2 minutes. You have 1 minute, 30 seconds. I'm like, son of a bee. Well, I can't leave people hanging. I'm going to jump on.
Yeah.
But anyway, everybody, let's make this happen. I'm thrilled to do this. This is a lot of fun. I love getting to interact with people.
Oh, absolutely. It was nice being able to sit here and glance off to the side and see Leif was commenting and whatnot. So that's helpful.
And I know the audience is educated on the subject matter. So I know that all you wonderful people that are on the Facebook page, they'll jump on and throw their two cents in. Well, now you get to do it live, and we get to kind of
have a genuine conversation about things too.
Exactly. And I mean, to have it.
Not that you and I don't enjoy talking to each other, but it's nice having that extra element, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, go to the Forever Adventure Network. You have all your links there. You have the store. You have the Patreon. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yep. We also have a link to the Discord where, you know, it's.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of the equivalent of like a message board type setup where, you know, we've got it broken down into categories. If you want to talk about, you know, MacGyver or, you know, Never Gets Old or the audio series or even Harmony Constant, you know, just have
I need you in particular, you, to help with that. Because I'm trying to interact on there. But again, you're the knowledgeable Discord guy. Mm-hmm. And I need more interaction. So I'm constantly going, hey, guys, we have a Discord. And then I go in there and...
And next to nobody's talking. Yeah.
I'm thinking everybody that does. And I'm
yeah, that unfortunately is one of those things. If there's not a large group on the Discord, it's like pulling teeth, unfortunately, because I'm going through the same thing with the Dark Operations one.
So. Yeah. So, you know, anytime you can hop on and or bug, I don't know, let people know about it, because the people who do join our Discord, I love, and you're wonderful. And,
oh, yeah. It's always nice to see the bit of activity that people.
Oh, there's people, there's folks on there adding pictures that they've made, their own fanfic. I'm always, you know, share it on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our whatever. And I always
all the socials,
repost.
Yeah.
I'm also saying go on Discord and post. They'll do like the pictures of Jack and Sam together in a different situation, like in their home or whatever. I love that stuff. That's such a spark of imagination for me.
Oh, absolutely. The creativity is wonderful.
So everybody go on there and do that. Help us out. Hit subscribe. Hit like, share, blah, 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 blah. Don't forget. Oh, there's always sales going on in our stores.
So getting a suggestion from Leif about fewer channels. So
what is that?
Channels are the different sub things where people are chatting, so I can go in and consolidate stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cause all I do is I typically look at the two podcasts, the audio series and the music one, but there is a
I'll do some maintenance-y stuff tonight. I'll work on stuff.
So. Great. Yeah. I figure if it's easier to surf and it's more eye catchy, thank you, Leif.
I'd used a template type setup for a lot of it, so I can go through and clean up things. And if it's a channel that there's not much conversation going on, I'll see if I can one save the conversation that's in it and merge it with another channel, or I might have to just delete and.
Yeah, see how you know that stuff? I just look and go, uh-oh, guy, where's the auto text me? Because I don't know it, and I don't want to futz with it in any way, shape, or form, because next thing you know, things get wiped out, and I don't want to do that to anybody.
Yeah.
Wait, there was another thing. Da, 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 da. Fewer channels, yes. And then, there's something else I was going to ask about that. Oh, I know. There is a thing where if people come on to Discord, I know we're doing housekeeping stuff, everybody, but just hang on. If somebody joins and they say, hi, I've joined, they go to spam. They go to like some.
It's taking them to spam.
That goes, you know, yeah, like a spam bot or whatever they are. I don't know the lingo.
I wonder if a setting got updated and they forgot to notify. So
I'm thinking it's that, because then I have to apologize and go, I swear we don't think you're spam or a bot or spammy bot. We're, you know.
Yeah. I'm making a note on my phone so that I can look that up.
Okay. Because I'm like, I need Nate. I need Nate to be more active with this in particular, because I don't know it. And I kind of feel like an idiot, you know, trying.
Oh, you're not an idiot. It's just something beyond your normal.
Yeah. I'm learning. I'm getting there. I'll learn everything else. But I feel bad telling everybody, come to my Discord, and then go, okay. For example, the wonderful person who just joined, who's adding the pictures, they're very familiar with Discord. I said, have at it. Join us, add on, you know, have a ball. I really doubt anybody's going to mess it up on us. But yeah, thank you, Leif. That's very helpful.
All right. My notes are look into the spam thing happening or going on and shrink the number of channels.
Perfect. All right.
But yeah, I'll work on that. And then so just a heads up to anybody watching this in the future, or you know, those watching now, there'll be some refinings going on. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it goes well. But yeah, I'm wondering if something got tweaked with one of those bots that I have in there that's supposed to help automate a lot of stuff. Which tells me they probably updated a darn bot and either A, didn't notify the people like they're supposed to, or who knows. It's so.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to go. I think this went well.
Yeah, I think it went well. I mean,
I'm happy.
Nothing blew up, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to, I'll figure this out. I'll save this and post it as an episode. And anybody have suggestions or thoughts, post them. Give me some likes. Do whatever underneath there, you know, after the fact. Everything is helpful.
Absolutely, yeah.
We value you and we're thankful.
Yeah, feedback, constructive feedback, criticism is always helpful. Like, you know, Leif's suggestion about, you know, fewer channels. Mm-hmm. That's something very, very easy to do and accommodate.
Yeah. So. All right. I'm going to hit the end credits and we will talk to everybody later. And remember,
stay creative.
Boom.
MacGyver podcast is part of the Forever Adventure Network and made possible by donations to the Forever Adventure Network by Mac Jackson on Patreon. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever podcasts are heard. And follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And remember, stay creative, everyone. The Forever Adventure Network.
Welcome to the adventure.